Hello and welcome to Elevate to Success, discussions on project management and leadership ideas, tips and techniques of being a project manager, agile practitioner, or a leader in your organization. Each week I will have something new for you. I'll have discussions with guests on a number of topics that you can use immediately or stuff that's keeping you up at night. So let's go. Hi, in this episode, we're going to provide a summary of some pros and cons of outsourcing project management, project managers, scrum masters, and also team members. So I have here today with me is Sudha Anand. She's an experienced engineering manager and an agile evangelist. She has a professional spanning of diverse industries like in aerospace, fintech, insurance, pharmaceutical, as well as credit services. She's experienced at managing software development teams, teams that are spans the globe, geographically distributed all over the world, and has played a key role in outsourcing resources, starting with outsourcing vendor selections, as well as project management. Welcome, Sudha. Glad you're able to join me today for this short segment. You know, does outsourcing bring a level of kind of high expertise compared to someone that would be, you know, local at the site? You know, there's a lot of different flavors of project management and the different lives, different styles. Is outsourcing pretty much the same? Do you feel that it's the same, or there's a more higher expertise that can be found offshore?
So thanks, Lloyd. Before I answer your question, thank you for having me on this podcast. So yes, it's a very valid question. The answer to that is hard to say a full yes or a full no, but the whole purpose of outsourcing is to find specialized skill sets in a focused area. When it comes to software development, if you want software developers who are expert, not just knowing the IT part, but they're really experts, then it definitely helps to outsource. Not to say that the same expertise is not available local, but with outsource, you definitely will have higher return on investments. You have cost savings. That's the whole purpose of primary purpose of outsourcing.
So let's also discuss about the coordination piece of it. You know, the breakdown and the challenges that if say a project manager is offshore and you have teams in different locations in different time zones, if you will, they're not all in one place. You know, do you feel that the team has less control of the project?
So that's definitely a challenge for when the teams are distributed and the project is outsourced, or if the project manager themselves is away, physically away from the team. But there are definitely ways to address that if you have a good process control in the project manager enforces the process, then a lot of these barriers can be overcome, and the primary factor which really helps progress is communication. So it is, like you said, it is difficult, but it's definitely doable and it's worth the challenge.
Let's talk about some of the ways that we could better our communications and kind of feel like the team is still part of a team instead of being so siloed in different locations.
So today's world with digital revolution all over the globe, it's actually a lot easier to keep in touch with somebody 100,000 miles away. So the way you communicate is, the different ways of project management, right? Before we get into the forms of communication, a lot of companies are moving towards agile today. Some of them are hybrid. They still follow the traditional waterfall project management style, and most of them are moving towards agile, and they'd like to implement either Scrum or Kanban. So when you have some framework like Scrum, there are defined concepts, and the ways to implement that is all within the teams. That said, no matter what your process of managing project is, the communications can be done outside of the scope of the tools that's used for project managing. We have Slack these days, people use Skype, there's WebEx all the time. So the best way to keep the team engaged is for the project manager to be actively communicating with them one-on-one to figure out how, not just the status of the project, but also a lot of times it helps to build the relationship because that's, you cannot see them face to face on a daily basis unless you do WebEx, but with different time zones, that's a challenge. So it's really helpful to keep the communication going, not just with using emails, but doing phone calls as and when possible. Slack is a great way. Skype is another best way, a good way to do things. But more, if you do Scrum, then you already meet for a 15-minute stand-up meeting on a daily basis with the Scrum meetings. But if you do, so that really helps talking to the developers. The team can talk to each other. Everybody's on the same page at the same time. And in addition to that, the developers can, the project manager needs to train the developers and let them know that they can all talk to each other offline as well. They don't have to wait for those meetings. So communication is essential, and that's what helps keeps issues out of the way.
Project manager can't do it all themselves, right? I mean, they can do so much communications, but having the team leads or the team get together, ensure that, you know, they communicate with each other, whether it's, like you said, whether it's email, Slack, or WebEx, or, you know, Skype, that they're always in communication with each other. Also, the thing, project managers, is to be flexible, you know, to be flexible with their schedule, because you can have be somewhere, say, in Chile or in India, where the time zone is very different compared to, like, if you're over here in the United States. So being flexible in your time schedule to ensure that you can still communicate with the team effectively, you know, makes it a lot better as well too.
Absolutely. And I think you said it really well, with distributed teams with different time zones like Chile or India. I guess it comes with experience of the project manager and the maturity of the project manager. And of course, their individual circumstances to allow them to be flexible. But that is very essential. So yes, you are absolutely right.
So okay, let's talk about now, in some teams, there could be conflicts, developers or QA people, any of the team members, you know, there's some tension or conflict or some cultural issues that could be blocking, you know, the performance of the team. So as a project manager, how can we help that, and how can we, you know, kind of work through those issues with our team members?
So conflicts exist everywhere. To resolve a conflict, it depends on the context of the conflict or the real reasons behind the conflict. It could be at an individual level, or it could be a conflict because of a disagreement towards a business value that they have to deliver. So if you take a team and they do not agree on what the product manager is saying, you have a developer one, as an example, you have a dev one and dev two, a developer two, and both of them do not agree that this is the business value that they need to deliver. That's a different kind of conflict. In most of these cases, I guess, the project manager can do the conflict resolution up until a certain level, which means that if it goes beyond the scope of the project, or if it's nothing to do with the project, if it's two individuals who just butt head all the time, then I guess it's part of the functional manager's role. So the project manager needs to identify what is the reasons of the conflict by asking different questions, by talking to them, bringing the people who do not get, who have disagreements into the same room. Of course, if it's outsourced, it cannot be same room. So it's probably going to be a call or a video call, using intellectual reasons as to why there's a conflict. Why is the disagreement happening? What can we do as a team to resolve this? A lot of times it may be just best to agree to disagree. But if it impacts the business, then that's not the best way. They really need to work together to find out what solutions will help them move forward from the conflict.
Right. Yeah. So your point is, we can have that one-on-one with project manager and the developer, or with the teams, but that can fall also under the retrospect. At the end of the sprint, we kind of air those types of issues or conflicts and, you know, involve the team as well. Now, again, if it's personal, then that's a different story, right? But if it's a team thing, and it's, like you said, tool, if it's a specific tool that people want to use, or a certain type of development or testing, and there's some conflict within the team members, that they would present that and rise that up in the retrospect. Let's touch on a couple of the pros and cons of, say, outsourcing a project manager as well as outsourcing a team?
A lot of times, the perspective, a new fresh perspective, leads to creative, innovative solutions. And it's really helpful to have a project manager with a fresher perspective. And that really helps move the product along faster.
Yeah, also, I would think that one of the pros would be, direct and daily interactions, say, with if all the team members are together, or if they're separate, it won't be so much of a conflict. But I mean, you kind of look at it from different perspectives. But I think that would, that's kind of advantageous if not so much direct contact can lead to less conflict. But again, if you're in an agile environment, it's good to have conflict because then you'd be able to, normalize within the team. I guess one of the things also too is better productivity. Team members will have, focused time, on their core, on their core activities. So we talked about in the beginning, cost savings, and we know that outsourcing, it could be a cost savings to the organization, but it also can lead to a lot of added money, if we will.
Right. So that's the downfall of one of the downfalls of having it outsourced. But if the project manager is vigilant, does the job correctly, or if it's a scrum master in an agile environment, you can reduce the destruction. It doesn't, I'm not saying it's, there will be no negative impact, there will not be any slowness, or there will not be increased cost, but that comes along with any project that we do. A lot of times, just getting the project within the budget is difficult. With outsourcing, because of the cost savings, I guess we will have a little bit more margin. And if the project is planned with that extra percentage taken into account when you budget it, that I guess is a good upfront planning.
Now let's talk outside of the project manager or the scrum master. Let's look at teams. Many times there could be one or two team members that are in different time zones as well too. You could have one person in Florida, you can have one person in Texas, and then the rest all in California. So you have overlapping schedules. That could be a con, kind of scheduling meetings and scheduling time and making sure that everybody kind of follows. I guess, the thing is everybody should follow a certain normal schedule. I don't know if it's whether it's it would be the main office's schedule if they're working from, say, 9 to 5 or 9 to 4, and then a person in Texas, since they're 3 hours ahead from California, they would have to adjust their schedule in order to accommodate the main office. What do you think about that?
Right. So in my experience, scheduling, actually, as simple as it should be, it's a no-brainer if you're local. It is one of the challenges when you outsource, because a lot of times it's the time zones. If you take India and Chile, like you said, or even within our time zones nationally, domestically, it is a challenge. And expecting the developers to work different hours to flex their time, if it's domestic, I guess it's okay to a certain extent. But if it is global, then if it's there, if we expect them to work during the night times, I think that doesn't work. So in our experience, I guess in yours as well as mine and the other people, our coworkers and peers we have worked with, a lot of times the project manager, scrum master end up flexing their schedule, making themselves more available at odder times than the developers. But that said, the way I have done things, and I'm sure you have done that too, is setting up a rule or policy saying that these are the multiple, or giving them an opportunity to pick a time which works for all the teams. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes a few iterations, they try some few time zones once, and then they say, okay, this doesn't work, so let's do it at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time. So it's an iterative process. It shouldn't take more than 2 or 3 attempts. So once they said that, and you set the policy saying that you have to be present in these meetings, and if you cannot, The alternative that I've offered is please provide your status or whatever topics of discussions that's critical, the pieces of work that you own, you need to tell us if there's any impediments, if there's progress, what is it they're going to, what you're going to do. So whatever is the agenda of the meeting, if they give you an upfront information, that's helpful too. That's an alternative to them not being there. Of course, that's not the best solution, but that's I've used that as a backup plan when they're not able to be present physically.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's talk about some cons here from a company perspective now. Private and sensitive information, if we're looking at outsourcing files, can be of some risk to the entire organization when we start looking at having people in remote locations or different equipment, but not located in the company. Do you feel that, you know, unless there's policies and procedures in place by the company, that there could be a potential risk of information flow?
Yes, that's definitely a risk. And so the way some companies have done that in the past is they provide them restrictive access to either if it's a lab environment or even if it's folder structure or any of the production environments. A lot of times the tech, the IP, and with the concerns of security that you're talking about, the core functionalities is not outsourced, but the peripheral functionalities or features that need to be done on a product can be outsourced. But at that point, they still will provide security conditions and they do not provide full access to everybody. It depends on need basis. So it is restrictive. It is a risk, but the risk can be mitigated by certain actions. Like I said, taking all the security precautions, working with the CISO, if your company has a CISO, finding out what is allowed, what is not allowed, what kind of tools can be used globally, what cannot be used, what access can be provided to what environments. So there are a lot of these policies that the CISOs and the other if there is a security team in the company, if they can sit down together, brainstorm, and then they can arrive at a policy and share the policy with the outsourced team.
Right, exactly. There may be problems when it comes to management cultures, right? And this usually happens when one is planning to get a project manager or team member offshore, because different nations may have different approaches to management styles and team styles, or, you know, working type of styles and collaboration. That could be, how I say, challenge to the organization just because of these cultural differences. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I have experiences where different cultures act different way in different ways, you know, language wise or just the way they do business, the way they manage people.
You're absolutely right. Yes, when we outsource, I guess the first thing that is beneficial to everybody, or especially the management team, is to understand the cultures where we are outsourcing the work to. It helps if they get a training, if they do some video classes online. It also helps to talk to some senior management in different countries to figure out how can they help with the other people understanding their culture. So yes, it is. It's very important to educate ourselves about the different management cultures and try to see. And the same way, we need to educate the outsourced companies on the local culture as well. It's a two-way process. One is understanding, the other one is helping them understand how we operate. So that would be a great step. And if a lot of companies do that before they outsource, it will help them reduce the issues that come out of the culture, the management culture styles. And even the management styles are different. That helps. All of this can be mitigated if there is some discussions before. Not to say that it will eliminate any of it, because they will be learning as they go through the whole collaboration. So they will Right. learn as they go forward.
Exactly, exactly. So to kind of summarize what we were talking about, it seems like, you know, for offshore teams or project managers to make it work is strict communications, you know, understanding the culture of individuals, kind of normalizing schedules between the teams, managing conflict, more so because, you're disparate, you're not in one location. Educating management in outsourcing, educating team members in outsourcing, educating management in cultural styles, right? And then kind of understanding individuals and cultures. Did I miss anything?
No, you got all of it. You got it all right. I would just like to add one more point. Being flexible and open, having a spirit of openness and collaboration is really essential. It is essential even when you work together locally, when people are on site. But it's really, really important that people make every effort to be open and to collaborate well, and definitely be flexible when they work with outsourced teams because of the various factors that we already discussed.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
So this comes to the end of our episode. I hope you had some insight on some of the pros and cons of outsourcing. You know, there are many more in-depth topics you can find on the internet. Now, if you'd like to chat or speak with Sudha on this topic or for consulting, you can contact her at her email at asudha2005@gmail.com. Again, that's asudha2005@gmail.com. This is Elevate to Success, your host, Lloyd Philip B. with Infinity Bold. For more information on how we can help you with your project management, coaching, as well as mentoring, you can go to my website at www.infinitybold.com and send me an email. Please share this podcast and also tell a friend about us. Until then, keep it real.